This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loan Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is, I love it, it is another big weekend of golf as we get you set and ready for the Players' Championship, one of the biggest events of the year, and absolutely thrilled to have back with us, always a true honor, from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, and that is Bill Rozinski. Good evening, Bill.
Alyssa, how are you? Always nice to be with you.
Well, I'm all good. It's Mother's Day weekend. I hope you got your wife taken care of, right?
I leave that to my, as my wife told me many years ago, I'm not your mother. So it's up to our sons, who are in their 30s, to take care of their mother now.
Oh, no pressure on the Rozinski boys, right? Okay, so let's...
No, I think, one's in Atlanta, but the other's here in Charlotte, so really there's a lot riding on him.
Oh, all right. Well, let's move ahead. What do you think's in store for the Players this weekend at TPC Sawgrass? Because it really is a tough test, and Championship Sunday, of course, it's going to be on Mother's Day, but it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. No, this is, they always try to build this as the fifth major, and I don't think it'll ever be that, but what this tournament is this weekend is it's put on by the PGA Tour. It's their big event. I don't know if people realize, the Masters is their own deal. It's run by the people at Augusta National. The U.S. Open is run by the USGA. The PGA Championship is actually run by the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour. And, of course, you got the R&A and the British Open. So this is the big deal. This is for the PGA Tour. It's on their golf course. Right, their headquarters are down in Ponte Vedra. So this is their deal. It's very special for them. It's a really interesting golf course. It's stadium golf. It's at Pete Dye design, and I think it's a really good test. And I think you get this course, even though they've redone it, the greens, everything's been redone over the last year since the last tournament. So there's some chatting 12. They made a drivable par 4 under 300 yards, and there've been some other tweaks to the golf course, but it's. It gives a lot of birdies unless the weather's not great, and I think it's a really good test because any type or style of game can win on this course.
Well, the Players' Championship, if you look at it, I mean, it really posts just an incredible field, and that certainly has been very exciting. But ultimately, who do you think, Bill, is going to come out on top? What is your prediction?
Wow. I would think one of your guys that, is at the top of the FedEx Cup standings and the world rankings because they're there for a reason. They're there because they're playing like, really good golf. I'll be interesting to see how the weekend fares for Sergio, who, we have not seen since Augusta, and, Rory, who, we haven't seen since he got married. So, changes in those guys' lives. And then you got DJ, who is, hands down, playing the best golf so far, and then you got Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day. The list goes on and on. I don't know if I would pick one particular guy, but I would say out of that core group of the top 10 in the world, I think one or two will be at the top of the leaderboard come Sunday night.
Well, the top player, as we're talking about, Dustin Johnson, you had an opportunity last week at the Wells Fargo tournament to interview him in post-round. What stood out from that conversation, and how much has his wedge play improved?
Well, if you look at the stats, and the PGA Tour has this system called ShotLink, which maybe, if fans go to golf courses, golf tournaments, they'll see the big scoreboards, and ShotLink will tell you how long a putt is or how long a second shot is, but it keeps track of so many different things in the PGA Tour. And if you look at the scrambling, the wedge game of Dustin Johnson from 2 or 3 years ago to now, it's the biggest change in his game. And he has admitted in interviews, even a year ago, as he got ready to win the U.S. Open and on from there, that it's been the focus. The short game is the focus that he's had, putting. He's always been able to, knock the dickens out of a golf ball. So that's never been an issue. But the iron play, and especially short game and putting, I mean, you hear this every week on the tour, don't you? It's,
mm-hmm,
it's like,
sure,
you know, who's going to make the putts? Whoever's like the best in strokes gained putting that week is probably going to be atop the leaderboard, if not the winner. And the same thing with scrambling in the short game. So that's been his big thing. Now, last week, you mentioned last week, the interview I had with him, that was after his final round. He had birdied the last hole to get the 9-under. And at
right.
that point, we thought, well, he might be in a playoff. That didn't happen because Brian Harman birdied the last two holes and won the tournament. But I would say last week, maybe he talked about the rust that he was knocking off his game. I think a lot of that rust was in the short game, because the short game last week was pretty good. It wasn't great. And I think that's the thing that really affected him last. Probably why he didn't win the tournament last week, because the rest of the game was pretty darn good. So I think, you know, now that he's back and he's going to be playing a lot, this is a great stretch now for the tour. We've got this. We've got, you know, the U.S. Open coming up in June, the British in July, and some other big events. We're going to be seeing a lot of this guy, and I think he's going to be right there every week.
Dustin Johnson, of course, you talked to him last week, as you were saying, you know, he was out for almost a month after having to back out from the back injury on the eve of the Masters. What did he do over those 29 days, 30 days, to get himself ready? And did you get any details, and can you give us some insight on that?
Well, you know, I think for a lot of the time, maybe half the time, he didn't do anything because his back, he had to wait for his back to heal. You know, it's like Tiger.
How bad was
Tiger
it?
They've never really gotten into specifics on how serious the injury was, but it couldn't have been, you know, it was probably some type of bruise or something on his back. I would just be guessing. I don't think, I've never read anything specific on what happened to his back, but I think, you know, it's one of those things for like the first 3 weeks. I mean, he really hadn't played in 6 weeks. You know, he was getting ready to play the Masters when it happened. He had a practice round and that stuff that went on at Augusta that week, but he had not been in tournament competition for 6 weeks until last week. And I think the first three, he even said it, you know, it just took a long time just to heal. And by the time he was ready, then he started hitting golf balls and gradually started getting his game back. So I would say the couple of weeks leading up to Wells Fargo last week was his, you know, most intense after the injury. So it was, it was a good wait. And it's one of these things you just have to wait for it to heal before, especially with a golf swing like his. I mean, his body, he's like Gumby. You know,
mm-hmm,
he's got,
yeah,
he can bend him and, you know, 20 different directions, and it wouldn't faze the guy. So I think that helped him, too. I think if he were maybe a different type body or player, that back injury might have been more serious. But he's just so lean and wiry that, you know, he's able to come back and play like he did.
You know, Bill, you bring up a great point, because when I think of Dustin Johnson, he has got the perception of being a power player. So, you know, you kind of were breaking down the layout of this course and some of the changes that have taken place. I mean, is this going to require him? He's a power player. I mean, is he going to have to lay up? He's got to be a little bit more strategic, that he can't be overly aggressive, and perhaps he might not be able to take advantage of his length, or should he just stay and play his game and style?
No, I think if you listen to McIlroy, who hits it as far as anybody, Rory's even said that it took him a while. I think the first three times he played at Sawgrass, he missed the cut. And since then, he's been pretty good. He's been mm-hmm. in the top 10. The last three of the times he's played there, he's never really been in contention on the back nine on Sunday, but he realized he can't get the big stick out on every hole. There are a number of holes on that golf course where you're going to hit. Now, 12 is a drivable par four, under 300 yards. But, you know, there's water, there's issues, and is the better thing laying up? And, you know, pros are going to, I think a guy like DJ on some of these holes is just going to have to dial it back. Now, if he's got to, you know, make a run on Sunday, if he's, you know, five back and has to make something happen, I think his strategy might change. But his record hasn't been stellar at the Players' Course. So I think you really – it's about maturing, and I think he's done a lot of that over the last couple of years. I think being with – he's not married to Paulina yet, but they're going to have their second child. And he's got a future father-in-law in Wayne Gretzky, who I think has – you know, really, really been a crutch for him, someone to, you know, to talk to. And, you know, what's it like to be number one? What's it like to be the best at your sport, so he can bounce some things off of him? So I think really in the last couple of years here, we've seen a great maturing in Dustin Johnson, not only on the golf course at his game, but off the course as well.
So are you saying really it's just been a maturity thing in terms of perhaps he's been too aggressive at the Players' Championship in the past? Because what we study this, I mean, he really hasn't played that well.
No, I think, you know, it's a learning process. You know, how do you, and sometimes you get a little stubborn, like, well, why didn't I, you know, why did I do this or that? Well, no, I can hit it 340. I just got hit straight. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. You know, how many times are you going to be able to hit that type of tee shot under pressure straight? You know, why? And is the risk beneficial of the reward? And I think on some of these holes, you're better off hitting a wedge. And that's the other thing with him. His short game has gotten so much better.
We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, so his putting has improved. It was because he made a putter switch, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what club. I don't know if he's using one of those spider putters or not. The same thing that Jason Day is using.
I actually think he is, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the guys are using that. So, yeah, I think he's toyed around with some other putters. But, yeah, he made that switch, and it's, you know, when you win three consecutive tournaments, and have a chance to win a fourth after a six-week layoff.
Right.
I think you're pretty good.
Yeah, what a fantastic 2017 for Dustin Johnson. Before we move ahead and talk about some of the other players, what do you see is perhaps the weakness in Dustin Johnson's game? I mean, how's his bunker play? I mean, where do you see weakness?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if there is a weakness
okay.
in his game. I think on occasion, you know, for example, at Wells Fargo last week, he was in the hunt, and I think maybe the tendency, if you're going to take out the driver and try to hit it 340, you better hit it straight. And I think if there's a, you know, and this happens with a lot of these guys, you got to put it in the fairway. I remember he drove it way right on 16 and had it in the trees, had a horrible lie. He was able to make a break because the ball was sitting next to this power box, which was like on the other side. You know, you would know even no one think anybody was going to hit a ball over mm-hmm. there, and he did. But he got relief and was able to hit it out just short of the green, made his par on that hole. So I think there are times, and I watched him on, I think it was the eighth hole, which is a par four, not a long one, but he put it so far left, he put himself in a position where he overshot the green for the second, ended up making a bogey on that hole. So I think right now in DJ's game, if there's a flaw, and it's one that, you know, doesn't rear its head all the time, it's taking out the driver and missing big on a fairway and ended up costing a shot.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, Bill Rosinski with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Okay, so we've talked a lot about Dustin Johnson. Let's talk some more about Rory McIlroy. What are your thoughts on his new $100 million deal with TaylorMade, leaving Callaway behind? And he's got, like, what, a $200 million contract with Nike. You talk about living big, and, of course, was just married, as you mentioned, what, 2 weeks ago? Living the dream.
We got a prenup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he got a prenup.
Oh, my gosh, you know, yeah.
Boy, she timed that right, huh? Besides this, yeah. These deals, you know, it's unbelievable. It's but he's got, you know, he's probably, you know, one of these guys who, he's not Tiger, obviously, but he's one of the few, I think. Now, people like DJ, and they're going to go out and watch him. They're going to watch Spieth. But when Rory's playing, there's just something different about his game. That there's this magnet, you know, this magnetism that he has for drawing fans, and you know, he's just really special. And you know, it's unfortunate he had a rib injury earlier this year, so that kind of set him back. And he's another one of these guys who, you know, he can pound the ball off the tee, but his short game and putting can abandon him on occasion. But I think he's worked hard on it. And now it's back, and there's nobody better. I think, you know, when we talk about the golden age of golf, and, you know, we've been honoring the memory of Arnold Palmer pretty mm-hmm. much all year long, and I think of, you know, those tournaments where you had Arnie and Jack and Watson and Miller and Trevino, and all these Hall of Famers were dueling all the time. I think we're in another golden age here where you've got the young guys, you know, the Spieth, the Justin Thomases, you got John Rahm, you know, feeling his way on the tour now, the kid from Spain. And then you've got Rory and DJ and Jason Day and Ricky Fowler. And, you know, it's just a list of guys who, what you want to see is those names at the top of the leaderboard every week. We had a little bit of that last week with DJ and Rahm at Wells Fargo. I think we'll have it on Sunday here. I think we're in a golden age. It's not just McIlroy, but to answer your question, as far as the game is, I think he's getting there, back to where he was, a FedEx Cup champ and a multiple major winner and being in contention all the time. But again, it's been the short game. I think that with a lot of guys on tour, if you get the short game going, everything else falls into place. I think he's close.
Hey, Bill Rozinski with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've definitely got to include in this conversation. You talked a little bit about it as far as Sergio Garcia playing in his first event after winning the Masters. What you've covered him for many years. What has changed in terms of his strategy?
Well, I think as far as Sergio is concerned, it's between the years. A few years ago, he had Augusta. He pretty much said, I'm never going to win here. It's not my course. I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And I think he's gotten he's gotten older, obviously. He's matured as well, and I think he's enjoying the game. I think there was a few years ago, he just didn't look happy on the golf course. But that's all changed. I think this is it'll be interesting to see how he plays going forward here in the next. His year has been made, obviously, by winning the Masters and winning that major championship. But I'll be interesting to see, how he plays in the other big events as the year goes on. I just think he's in a better place mentally, and is enjoying. He's always had a good game. The putter. A number of years ago, he was going through that re-gripping thing where, he'd be in the fairway and he'd re-grip the club 30 times.
Wow.
People be counting. Remember that U.S. Open at Bethpage Black? They were going 15, 16, and it was just like, oh, my goodness. But I think his game is good. I think between the years, he's in a great place, and obviously he's engaged to be married. So I think he's in a great spot in his life now.
Okay. My final question for Bill Rozinski of XM PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. Who's going to be that surprise player in 2017 that will emerge and, come on out with a big win?
Well, John Rahm's already got one win. That
right.
was at the Farmers in San Diego back in February. But this is a guy who I think has all the potential to win a major championship. Played well at match play. Losing to Dustin and, played well. Of course, they played last week. Alyssa was that's a big time golf course. I would not be surprised. Eagle Point in Wilmington to host something, either a PGA championship, a president's, something down the line. That's how good that golf course is. But this guy, not only is the game, but he's fun to watch because he's kind of like got that little Seve in him. He's got that emotion. He made a par on the 12th on Sunday, where not only did he give us a little fist pump after he made the putt, but he pounded his chest as well. okay, that was a nice par, and he was all jacked up about it. So I think this guy is somebody to watch. And, we were all talking about Justin Thomas at the beginning of the year because he'd won the two events in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
And he'd also won earlier in the fall. He's already won three times. But since then, it hasn't been much, so I'll be interested to see how Justin plays. But Rahm's the guy I would watch going forward, the young guy who not only has a chance to win on the tour, win again on the tour, but be in contention in a major.
We've only got about 30 seconds. Bill, tell all of our listeners you're going to be headed out here to Fort Worth to the Colonial and the coverage there.
Yeah, just a couple weeks.
Nice.
I've been there before.
Great tournament.
It's old school. It's an old school golf course, and of course, Ben Hogan set up shop there, and they've got the statue and the little museum there for Hogan. I think it's a great venue for the tour. And as I said, it's an old school course. Anybody can win there. And hopefully the weather's good. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a great week.
Yes, fingers crossed. Okay, enjoy the Players' Championship. And, Bill, I promise another conversation again real soon. Safe travels.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Okay, so his putting has improved. It was because he made a putter switch, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what club. I don't know if he's using one of those spider putters or not. The same thing that Jason Day is using.
I actually think he is, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the guys are using that. So, yeah, I think he's toyed around with some other putters. But, yeah, he made that switch, and it's, you know, when you win three consecutive tournaments and have a chance to win a fourth after a six-week layoff,
right?
I think you're pretty good.
Yeah, what a fantastic 2017 for Dustin Johnson. Before we move ahead and talk about some of the other players, what do you see is perhaps the weakness in Dustin Johnson's game? I mean, how's his bunker play? I mean, where do you see weakness?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if there is a weakness
okay.
in his game. I think on occasion, you know, for example, at Wells Fargo last week, he was in the hunt, and I think maybe the tendency, if you're going to take out the driver and try to hit it 340, you better hit it straight. And I think if there's a, you know, and this happens with a lot of these guys, you got to put it in the fairway. I remember he drove it way right on 16 and had it in the trees, had a horrible lie. He was able to make a break because the ball was sitting next to this power box, which was like on the other side. You know, you would know even no one think anybody was going to hit a ball over mm-hmm. there, and he did. But he got relief and was able to hit it out just short of the green, made his par on that hole. So I think there are times, and I watched him on, I think it was the eighth hole, which is a par four, not a long one, but he put it so far left, he put himself in a position where he overshot the green for the second, ended up making a bogey on that hole. So I think right now in DJ's game, if there's a flaw, and it's one that, you know, doesn't rear its head all the time, it's taking out the driver and missing big on a fairway and ended up costing you a shot.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, Bill Rosinski with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Okay, so we've talked a lot about Dustin Johnson. Let's talk some more about Rory McIlroy. What are your thoughts on his new $100 million deal with TaylorMade, leaving Callaway behind? And he's got like, what, a $200 million contract with Nike. You talk about living big and, of course, was just married, as you mentioned, what, 2 weeks ago? Living a dream.
We got a prenup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you got a prenup.
Oh, my gosh, you
know,
yeah.
Boy, she timed that right, huh? Besides this,
yeah.
These deals, you know, it's unbelievable. It's but he's got, you know, he's probably, you know, one of these guys who, he's not Tiger, obviously, but he's one of the few, I think. Now, people like DJ, and they're going to go out and watch him. They're going to watch Spieth. But when Rory's playing, there's just something different about his game. That there's this magnet, you know, this magnetism that he has for drawing fans, and you know, he's just really special. And you know, it's unfortunate he had a rib injury earlier this year, so that kind of set him back. And he's another one of these guys who, you know, he can pound the ball off the tee, but his short game and putting can abandon him on occasion. But I think he's worked hard on it. And now it's back, and there's nobody better. I think, you know, when we talk about the golden age of golf, and, you know, we've been honoring the memory of Arnold Palmer pretty mm-hmm. much all year long, and I think of, you know, those tournaments where you had Arnie and Jack and Watson and Miller and Trevino, and all these Hall of Famers were dueling all the time. I think we're in another golden age here where you've got the young guys, you know, the Spieth, the Justin Thomases, you got John Rahm, you know, feeling his way on the tour now, the kid from Spain. And then you've got Rory and DJ and Jason Day and Ricky Fowler. And, you know, it's just a list of guys who, what you want to see is those names at the top of the leaderboard every week. We had a little bit of that last week with DJ and Rahm at Wells Fargo. I think we'll have it on Sunday here. I think we're in a golden age, not just McIlroy. You know, but to answer your question, as far as his game is, I think he's getting there, back to where he was, you know, a FedEx Cup champ and a multiple major winner and being in contention all the time. But again, it's been the short game. I think that with a lot of guys on tour, if you get the short game going, everything else falls into place. I think he's close.
Hey, Bill Rosinski with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've definitely got to include in this conversation, you talked a little bit about it, as far as Sergio Garcia playing in his first event after winning the Masters. You know, what you've covered him for many years. What has changed in terms of his strategy?
Well, you know, I think as far as Sergio is concerned, it's between the ears. You know, a few years ago, he had Augusta. He pretty much said, I'm never going to win here. I just, you know, it's not my course. I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And I think he's gotten a little, you know, he's gotten older, obviously. He's matured as well. And I think he's enjoying the game. I think there was a few years ago, he just didn't look happy on the golf course. But that's all changed. I think this is it'll be interesting to see how he plays going forward here in the next. His year has been made, obviously, by winning the Masters and winning that major championship. But I'll be interesting to see, you know, how he plays in the other big events as the year goes on. I just think he's in a better place mentally, and is enjoying. He's always had a good game. You know, the putter, a number of years ago, he was going through that re-gripping thing where, you know, he'd be in the fairway and he'd re-grip the club 30 times.
Wow.
People be counting. Remember that U.S. Open at Bethpage Black? They were going 15, 16, you know, and it was just like, oh, my goodness. But I think his game is good. I think between the years, he's in a great place, and obviously he's engaged to be married. So I think he's in a great spot in his life now.
Okay, my final question for Bill Rosinski of XM PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. Who's going to be that surprise player in 2017 that will emerge and, come on out with a big win?
Well, you know, John Rahm's already got one win. That
right.
was at the Farmers in San Diego back in February. But this is a guy who I think has all the potential to win a major championship. Played well at match play, losing to Dustin, and played well at Wells. When this course they played last week, Alyssa was that's a big time golf course. I would not be surprised, Eagle Point in Wilmington, to host something, either a PGA championship, a president's, something down the line. That's how good that golf course is. But this guy, not only is the game, but he's fun to watch because he's kind of like got that little Seve in him. He's got that emotion. He made a par on the 12th on Sunday, where not only did he give us a little fist pump after he made the putt, but he pounded his chest as well. Like, okay, that was a nice par, and he was all jacked up about it. So I think this guy is somebody to watch. And we were all talking about Justin Thomas at the beginning of the year because he'd won the two events in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd also won earlier in the fall. He's already won three times. But since then, it hasn't been much. So I'll be interested to see how Justin plays. But Rahm's the guy I would watch going forward, the young guy who not only has a chance to win on the tour, win again on the tour, but be in contention in a major.
We've only got about 30 seconds. Bill, tell all of our listeners you're going to be headed out here to Fort Worth to the Colonial and the coverage there.
Yeah, just a couple weeks.
Nice.
I've been there before. I've
great tournament.
Really, it's old. It's old school. It's an old school golf course, and of course, Ben Hogan set up shop there, and they've got the statue and the little museum there for Hogan. I think it's a great venue for the tour. And as I said, it's an old school course. Anybody can win there. And hopefully the weather's good, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a great week.
Yes, fingers crossed. Okay, enjoy the Players' Championship, and Bill, I promise another conversation again real soon. Safe travels.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. Before we continue our conversation with author Ira Burkow, hey, we would love to hear from you. You can always give us a tweet at eradiosports or email the show at info@eradiosports.com. And twice is always nice. Go to podcastarena.com. Let's continue our conversation with Ira Burkow. Ira Burkow's brand new book, it is titled It Happens Every Spring. He is joining us here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. We'd love to hear from all of our listeners. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com. One of the cool things about your new book, Ira, too, is the reflections on the legacies, the accomplishments of so many iconic players, including Cal Ripken Jr. and Mickey Mantle and Nolan Ryan. We know him well right here in Texas.
Yeah, well, Nolan was just such a treat, and what the column that I did on him, there was a listing that came out of nearly at the end of his career of all the people that he struck out, and the myriad number of people that he struck out. And one that was accidentally left off, I think, was someone named Harry Spillman, who also lives in Texas. And so he called Nolan and berated him for leaving out his name in Nolan's all-time strikeout list. But Nolan was a sweetheart of a guy. And just, you know, he had one of the most amazing careers and one of the most amazing arms. I mean, he threw so hard for so long and never really had an arm ailment. He had some finger blisters, and he used to use pickle brine to harden his fingers, tips of his fingers. But he was remarkable and a gentleman like Cal Ripken. They were both just. And another one in the book is Brooks Robinson, who was just one of the nicest people.
Yeah.
And once I was with Senator Eugene McCarthy from Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and he had been a semi-pro baseball player, and he got to know Brooks Robinson, and McCarthy said to me once that Brooks Robinson is such a nice guy that when you're with him, you sort of want to cry. What a great fielder, so these are some of the people, you know, that I wrote about and cared about. And another is another Hall of Fame pitcher, Hoyt Wilhelm, and he was a knuckleball pitcher. He was pitching at this time for the White Sox, and they had a rookie catcher come up, and he was going to catch him in the bullpen. And so, you know, the knuckleball floats and goes all kinds of different ways. And Hoyt Wilhelm said to the catcher, wear a mask when you're catching me in the bullpen. And the catcher's come up for the minor leagues. He says, I don't need a mask. You know, you don't use a mask to catch somebody in the bullpen. And Hoyt Wilhelm said, okay. So he threw his knuckleball, which darted this way, darted that way, and hit the catcher right between the eyes and knocked him out.
Hey, Ira Burkow with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. With us just a few more minutes, we are talking about his new book, It Happens Every Spring. You also share in the book insights on how ballplayers like Roberto Clemente and Jackie Robinson transcended the sport through community service and the civil rights movement. So important to include this.
Yeah. I mean, both of them carried burdens, it seemed, beyond their years, and beyond the baseball profession, and they both knew. Clemente was one of the first great Puerto Rican players, and of course Robinson, and he was black, and Robinson was also, as we all know, a black iconic figure, and they knew that. The people were looking at them, both the people of their own race and ethnic backgrounds, but others, and they comported themselves in the highest order, and they were both. I got to know both of them, and you know, they were both fine people. Clemente would get hurt. And people thought that he was faking injuries. And one time, and he wasn't. He was just he had a back problem. And one time he came to bat, he was ailing, and he hit a home run one-handed. And people said, "Oh, he can't really be hurt," but he was. And Robinson, the same. And they both felt that a lot of eyes were on them, and that they had to comport themselves in the highest fashion. And both of them did.
We only have about another minute with Ira Burkow at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. His new book, it is titled It Happens Every Spring. The reviews have been fantastic. As we get ready to close out our interview, give us, what do you remember the most about Mickey Mantle?
The first time I met Mickey Mantle was at the end of his career. I was in New York City, and he wasn't doing too well, so he wasn't very good with the press. But several years later, he had a restaurant, and his name was on a restaurant, Mickey Mantle's restaurant on Central Park South in Manhattan. And one late morning on a Sunday before the restaurant opened, I was invited by Mickey and to visit him in the restaurant before it opened. And so I took it was a friend of mine, a neighbor, was a psychiatrist. His name was Isaac Hirschkopf, and he was a big Yankee fan. And I said, would you like to come with me to meet Mickey Mantle? He said, yes, of course. So we went there, and it was late morning, and Mantle and Billy Martin were wearing sunglasses inside. And I think the night had never ended for the two of them.
Oh,
but
wow.
Anyway, they
uh-huh.
were there. And I introduced Mantle to Dr. Hirschkopf. I said, he's a psychiatrist. And generally, when you meet somebody, you extend a hand. Mantle did not extend his hand. He extended his head. And he said, Doc, can you do something with this?
Oh, my gosh.
That was Mickey Mantle.
Ira Burkow, been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So many, a collection of great stories. It happens every spring. Congratulations, Ira. We look forward to another conversation right here at SB Nation Radio.
Well,
thank you. Hey, that was Ira Burkow, author and Pulitzer Prize winner of his new book, It Happens Every Spring. A very special thank you to all of our amazing guests. All of you have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend, and we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best, right here at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio and the Big E Sports Show.